Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good morning. Good morning. We're going straight to Matthew chapter 7. Yeah, and we are moving forward really fast. Blessed be the name of the Lord for that. Amen. Okay, so we're going to Matthew. Mark. You know, I'm used to Matthew. You know, we just finished Matthew chapter 1 to chapter 28. So definitely you should expect me to be saying Matthew, Mark, you know, because I'm already used to Matthew. Hallelujah. All right, so Mark chapter 7, and my prayer this morning is the Lord will give us understanding, the Lord will give us light, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The first thing I want us to learn is that these Pharisees have come again with accusations. You know, they won't stop finding fault. They won't stop finding fault. And, you know, the first encouragement is, you know, don't be like the Pharisees. Don't be like the Pharisees. Stop looking for people's fault. I've said it before, and I'm saying it again. Stop looking for people's fault. Stop looking for people's fault. You know, and, you know, most people that look for people's fault, you know why they do that? Because they know that that person is doing better than them. So because they know the person is doing better than them, they are now looking for something to say against that person, to make the person look like, you see, hey, I said this person is not that righteous, he's not that born again. I know he's just the person playing the keyboard in the church, but then he's not righteous, you know. And it's not nice. Stop looking for people's fault. Stop looking. The day you do that, remember that you are a Pharisee. Do you know how much Jesus fought the Pharisees? I mean, Jesus fought the Pharisees more than sinners. Yes, because it is better for you to be a sinner than for you to be a Pharisee. You know, if you are a sinner, we know you are sick. Then we know you need help. But if you're a Pharisee, we can't tell if you are sick because you look righteous, you look holy. But inside, you are a dead serpent. A terrible person, a deadly serpent, a poisonous snake. But we can't tell because of your looks, because of the kind of clothes you wear, because of the words that you speak. Your words are so holy and righteous. People cannot predict. They don't know if you're sick. You go to the doctor. The doctor is even asking you, are you okay? What's wrong with you? He said, no, I'm fine. I'm okay. You can't expose the sins in your life. That's more terrible than being a sinner, because it is easy to preach the gospel to a sinner. How do we preach to a Pharisee that is pretending to be righteous, but he's not? So stop being a Pharisee. Open up to God. Let people see who you are, who you truly are. Expose yourself. Stop pretending. Stop looking like a very good person in the public. But your private life, you are something else. You know, these guys will always look for something to fight Jesus and his disciples. But we thank God, because every single time that the Pharisees attacked the disciples in public, Jesus never, not once, did he support the Pharisees. He did not support the Pharisees. Even sometimes when it appeared as though the disciples were wrong, even when they were not wrong, especially when he was talking about fasting, Jesus Christ still supported the disciples. And that's the second lesson I want us to pick. We should never find it comfortable to you know, speak against your fellow brother in public. Even if the person has done something terrible in the public, come to the private to talk to the person. Do you know how many times Jesus rebuked, scolded the disciples in private? But in public, he wouldn't. He would try as much as possible to protect them. Not to lie, but to protect them. And say, okay, these guys are growing. Because, you know, these guys did a lot. Hey, God, the disciples, no matter the mistakes they make, Jesus was ready to cover up for them. You know why? Because they were already a disciple. How many of you will be fishing? You went to work in the morning. This was the case of most of these disciples. You went to work in the morning. You got to work. Someone walked past your workplace, told you, follow me, and I will make, oh my God. And they left everything they were doing and followed Jesus. For God's sake, that's enough reason to support that person with my life. You understand? With my life. That's why I said Judas was not supposed to end the way he ended. I mean, Judas was not a traitor from the beginning. No, he was a very good man from the beginning, as righteous as Peter, as John. I mean, if not the same thing, but almost. This guy was okay in the beginning. He only became a traitor, as the Bible says. He allowed the devil. If not, he was also a very excellent man, like every other disciple. So Jesus was ready to defend them because they were all work in progress. And the fact that they could leave all to follow Jesus in the first place was enough reason for Jesus to say, no, these guys, excellent, 100%. You know, so that's the way it is. That person you are fighting, that person you are always looking for his or her fault, Jesus is in love with that person because then that person has sacrificed a lot of things just to be with Jesus Christ. But you are there looking for his fault. I will tell you one other thing. You see, the ministry of the devil is the ministry of accusation. The Bible says he is continually accusing the brethren, looking for fault, going to and fro with his eyes wide open, looking for your mistakes. That is the job of the devil. So remember today, every time you stand to accuse a fellow believer, you are working together with the devil. Let that be in your heart. May God help us and give us grace not to share the devil's assignment. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's the lesson I want us to learn from there. It's as simple as that. But I'm going to point out a particular scripture. You know, very important verse. Verse 6, the Bible says, "These people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me." And I want us to pick that lesson. You know, don't just say good words. You know, let your words be in tandem with your actions. You know, and I pray God will give us strength to do that in Jesus' name. Be careful of the traditions of men too. Some of these things that we call the word of God, they are not in the Bible. They are not the laws of God. They are traditions, mere traditions of men. Be careful of traditions of men. And then the disciples came to meet Jesus and was asking, what's the meaning of this thing and blah, blah, blah. And when they came back to private, Jesus lashed them. What is wrong with you guys? Is it that you guys don't have understanding of these little things too? But he explained to them. So this is Jesus. In public, he supports, protects the disciples. But in private, where necessary, he lashes them, gives them rebukes in love, you know. And that is how we should treat believers. Don't look at your brother in public and begin to lash and insult your brother because he has made a mistake. Instead, let the person come home and then you can go to meet the person in private to express your feelings. May God help us in Jesus' name. We see this the next thing, which is the fate of the Gentile woman. You know, I see this like an intercessory prayer thing. You know, this woman was asking that Jesus would heal her daughter. You know, daughter is demon possessed, and this woman was trusting that Jesus would heal the daughter, and Jesus was saying he wasn't going to do it because the woman was a Greek, so Jesus wasn't going to do it. But this woman kept on persisting. I want us to pick a few lessons from the story of this woman. Number one, persistence in prayers. You know, it is easy if it were to be, I don't know how to put it now. It is easy, yeah. If you are, the prayer is about you. If it was about this woman is the one demon possessed. Then she came to meet Jesus to heal her. And Jesus says, no, I'm not ready to heal you now. Let me go and attend to my children first. It is easy for her to keep persisting and saying, no, Father, please don't leave me alone. But for her to keep persisting for another person, that is how we should do when we intercede for others. Because when you pray for your own self, when you pray for yourself, you keep praying and praying and praying on that thing, you won't stop. But in intercession, you should do the same. So when you're interceding for someone, continue to persist in prayers. Persist and persist until you see that change in the life of that person. So that's the first lesson I want us to pick. The second lesson is, of course, persistence in prayer, which I've already said. Intercede for others. The second is, you know, persist in prayers. And the third is the fact that we should have faith in God. You know, Jesus saw the faith of this woman, and it was because of the faith of this woman that Jesus healed her daughter. And, you know, some people have said a lot of things about this part of the Bible, that maybe Jesus Christ, you know, was a bit harsh on the woman. Do you know that the only miracle Jesus Christ did in Tyre and Sidon that was recorded for us in the Bible was just the daughter of this woman? Jesus Christ traveled down to the region of Tyre and Sidon in verse 24. Verse 31 says, again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, all he did, that means Jesus Christ actually went to Tyre and Sidon just to heal the daughter of this woman. So, of course, it wasn't like Jesus Christ didn't want to heal, but then he wanted to see how strong the faith of the woman is. I said it yesterday. The easiest way to get anything from God is by faith. If you have faith, nothing will be impossible for you to do. And then finally, we see that Jesus Christ also healed a man that was deaf and dumb. But I want us to see that, you know, when he was trying to heal the man, verse 33, and he took him aside from the multitude. He put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. You might be wondering, why would Jesus touch anyone's tongue after spitting and all of those things? You know, this is Jesus passing his life into that man. He was passing his life into that man. And he says to him, Ephrata, that is, be opened. And I found out all through the time Jesus healed people in the Bible, every single time he would say something. He would say something. So I can make conclusions to say that the words that we speak is in line, directly in line with the kind of healing that we are going to get. So if you keep speaking the wrong words, then that sickness, then that problem would remain. But you need to learn to speak by faith. Leave, and that thing would leave. Be opened, and that thing will be opened. It is the word that you speak that matters. So speak the right words. Even when God, the owner of heaven and earth, was going to create the heavens and the earth, the Bible says he spoke. He only spoke words. Let there be light, and there was light. Let there be firmament. Let there be this. Let there be that. And everything he said came into reality. Be careful of the words you speak. You know what the Bible says? It says, decree a thing and it shall be established, and the light of God will shine upon your way. So be willing to make decrees as Christians. And I pray the Lord will help us and give us grace in Jesus' name. Thank you again for joining this podcast. I celebrate you. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye for now.